All right, let's go. You already know this is the DC Incentives podcast. This is another episode of us. And I would say this is a bonus episode, honestly. So since this is Black History Month, let's do something on Black stuff. So we have Nyron.
Hello.
And then we got the bird in the background.
Newborn Newborn, that's right.
And then we got TC.
What's up, guys?
Oh, okay. So happy Black History Month, everyone. So while you're listening or watching this and everything, first, I would like to say, what's up, Xavier?
You're on mute.
You're on mute.
We still can't hear you.
You're on mute.
For our listeners, we have a fourth guest coming in. There's audio issues.
Well, technically, Xavier's not a guest. She's part
true,
of the
true,
team.
True, true, true.
She's a videographer. So yeah. Every time when we every time when in person when we do the podcast in person, she is behind the scenes.
Thanks to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the podcast. So, other than that, we can get started on Black History stuff. So, what do you love, since we're all Black African Americans? Tell me, what do you love about your Blackness? Me? I love my Blackness because I'm just Black. I'm just is. I love being Black.
Man, let me tell you why I like being Black. I feel exclusive. Nobody can ever be us. You understand? And the amount of history that we have just with this skin color alone is beautiful.
Facts.
You know? It kind of sucks. Life is a little harder. That's why I'm not going to try to skip that at, like, you know, shit's tough. It's like the hard mode of video games, you know? But something about Blackness is just beautiful. We are strong individuals. And especially, Black women, don't even get started on that. They queens, man, you know? I have no regrets being this skin color. If they tell me I could do it over again, like, which color you want to be, I said I'd be Black again. Yeah. I might say Asian just to see how I look. I'm just kidding. All says is, I love being Black. It's not much to it.
Of course. We the ones that build everything. We build everything United States. Facts. We can go on and on. We are always, like Paul Mooney said it too, in this generation, we are the most copied culture in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
When it comes to clothes, music, even how we dress, we have a distinctive style that a lot of people's even copying now.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yep.
So that's why I say we're such an exclusive brand, because it's like everybody wants to be us,
but nobody wants to be us.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. You see the bird agree too. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Talk to me, Nyron.
I love being Black because I don't have a choice. It's not like I could just get up, and change it to a different skin. I love our aesthetic, you know. I love the shapes of our noses and our lips, and our stereotypical build. I love that we've been sun-kissed, even if we're not on the continent. Even if we're not born on the continent, you know, the sun stays with us wherever we go, from the moment we're born until we die. And just to piggyback off of what Troy said, I love our history. We have a rich, rich history. It's not just about slavery. There are ancient civilizations from Kush to the ancient civilizations in Ghana, the Mali Empire, the Egyptian Empire, because ancient Egypt, and Egypt is an African country, despite what you might learn from, that's us as well.
And I hate, not that I hate it, but I don't like when they say we are Egyptians, then we are the Judaism. And it's like, we're all just like black people, because Judaism and Egyptians are black. Same thing as Native Americans. Yeah, exactly. Same thing as Native Americans. So I think we got to stop this separation. Honestly.
Like, I get it, because out of all the countries in Africa, I guess they stand out the most, because let's say Egyptians and Moroccans, they follow more like Arabic kind of styles of living, you know? Maybe that's why they separated, but I get what you're saying. Even with South Africa, even though that's...
No, just to go back to the history of Africa, I mean, the richest man to ever walk the face of the earth was a black man, Manta Musa of the Mali Empire. Africans have had a huge impact and a huge influence on European culture, specifically the Moors, when they conquered the Iberia Peninsula, Portugal and Spain. And, you know, their influence is still felt to this day. Of course, you have the beautiful languages of Africa, from Kiswahili to Yoruba to Xhosa. All those languages, if you just listen to the way that they sound, it's like music to your ears almost. And just to know that you're part of that is something that could swell you with pride. You just have to know about it. You have to have the access to know about it, you know? And that's why I love being black.
Ooh. Absolutely. Just think about it real quick. Just think about, matter of fact, I don't even want to think about it, but it's like, it's the reason why, like, when we built this country, like our ancestors built this country, because they know our worth. They know they can't do it. So they'd be like, all right, you know what? They know our worth. Yeah. There's a reason why. They know our worth. We are black for a reason. We are the originals, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are the first. And you know what? Here's an interesting black fact. Africans and people of African descent are the most genetically diverse people on the face of the planet.
Let's go.
And it's because we've been around the longest. When human beings spread out to other parts of the globe, from Europe to Asia, and I think maybe even parts of Australia, I'm not too sure, they sort of commingled with the other hominins that were still around, the Neanderthals in Europe and Asia. And it would not be uncommon if you took the strand of the DNA and examined it to find, if you are of European descent, like, I think all the way up to like 2-3% Neanderthal DNA. But if you were born in Africa, or if you have just pure African ancestry, you'll find no strands of any other hominid DNA. If you are African and purely African, you are the most pure human on the face of the planet, just from a genetic perspective. It's very ironic that
when you say it like that, it makes a lot of sense.
It's very ironic that we are dehumanized the most, when you could argue that we are the most human of every race. So it's another reason why I love being black.
Like what you said, we everywhere. Everywhere. Like, look at DR. That's back to us, the Spanish. You understand? Yeah. You know? Even though they don't claim it.
But. Paul Mooney said it best. Latinos are nothing more than black people that can swim.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Push come to shove, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are Latino, Afro-Latino, Puerto Rican, that just know that you are black too, even though some deny that, but it is a fact. You are black too.
Yeah, no, I'm Afro-Latino. My mother's from Panama, and when we grew up, she never gave us an option to look at us as anything other than black. She knew her blackness, embraced her blackness, and you know, she passed that down onto us.
And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't a lot of Jamaicans went to Panama also to help build the Panama Canal, something like that?
Not only Jamaicans, people from all parts of the Caribbean island. My great-grandparents were from Barbados, and they left Barbados to work on the Panama Canal and lived in Panama and, you know, had their children and eventually my mother.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's amazing. Yep. Yeah.
It's amazing how the blackness and of us, like even the we get just the sun, like just the, like the sun reflecting on us is just shining on our skin, like amazing.
Yeah. And this isn't to denigrate any other race. I mean, humanity is diverse and beautiful and complicated.
Absolutely.
But I think for Black History Month, I think it's imperative that we just embrace and highlight who we are as Africans, you know?
Yes.
That's what this podcast was about.
I'd rather us call us Black kings and queens.
Mm-hmm. I find that incredibly corny.
But I'm saying I'd rather us call us, hey, come here, king. Hey, queen, how you doing?
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
It depends how you say it, though. You see how you say it? You have a little swag with it. You got somebody in the background, what's up, king? How you doing, queen? It's just like, yo, fix your posture. What are you talking about? Don't call me that. You know, everybody can say it. Diamond can say it, you know?
No, I'm just saying,
I don't like it when anybody calls me king. Like, yo, what's up? How do you know?
Shit. What do you mean? Kings don't do that.
You know, the odds of you being descended from a king, it's very, very, very small.
Well,
if you come from work and you just tired, you just have 9 to 5, said, Brian, I ain't no king right now. Right.
Like, kings don't know anything about a 9 to 5.
I mean, we're passed down through hundreds of generations.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to look at like thousands of years ago, like looking into your roots.
And especially Naira, me and you, like since we have Caribbean on us, history alone, that's, who knows what happened during that timeline.
Yeah. No, I mean, our last names are European for a reason, you know.
Yeah. But it's Payne. Payne is European.
Say that again.
My last name, Payne. Is that European?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Payne is European, but we're not going to get into that.
No, we're honestly, I just thought like a black man in a house is one day be like,
Our first name is from our parents,
but even that's European.
My first name is European for sure. Yeah.
But I mean, at the end of the day, I still love being black. So.
Oh yeah. I know. You know. Even that, we're in Europe, so.
You know. Word. All right, so I'm gonna get into some things for our audience for Black History Month that is not popular. So first, I want to bring out, let's see, an African American man that built the top of the Capitol Hill. His name is Philip Reed. Mm. Let me see. Hold on. Let me see if I can share my screen. Hold up. Let me see.
Porn first. You got to close out all the porn. Make sure we don't see that.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right, Nyron. Whatever. So let's see. All right. So y'all see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the statue of freedom. And this is what Philip Reed built. An African-American man. So this, I'm looking online, everyone. So this is, you know, Philip Reed. So pretty much this statue is a, this represents freedom. Okay? So since this statue represents freedom, Philip Reed, of course, he was enslaved. Y'all can look this up on www.eoc.gov. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, everyone. Mm-hmm. But pretty much, Philip Reed, made $1.25 when he was building that dome of the Capitol Hill. Mind you, this is an enslaved black person that built the Capitol Hill on top of the dome and was in when he built that. It was a woman with a dress, a black symbol. Picture it, a black symbol on top of a Capitol Hill named Freedom. And this was this represent the emancipation, and Philip Reed was freed when Abraham Lincoln, you know, did the emancipation.
Yeah, when he signed in the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah. Yes. And then let me show y'all what he looked like. Let me show y'all what he looked like. Hold on. Hold on. I gotcha. Philip Reed, give me a second. This is what Philip Reed looks like, y'all. Let me share. I'm gonna just share my screen for a little bit. Just give me a hold on. Just give me a second, y'all. I'm just trying to give me a second, everyone.
All good.
Since Diamond's doing that, who makes the best fried chicken?
Oh, here, Cole, come on, really?
Popeyes, really? Definitely Popeyes.
Oh, really? We talking about black owned stuff, y'all.
The lady from
Louisiana Fast. All right, but here goes, y'all. All right, so here go, y'all. This is Philip Reed right here. This is what he looks like.
Wow.
This is the man right here that built the top. Well, he helped build the top of the Capitol Hill, the statue of freedom. It's crazy how the top of the Capitol Hill is a black symbol. And then last year when Trump's people talking about this, when they stormed the Capitol Hill, they like, well, this is our, what do you say? The Capitol Hill was ours. But they don't even know how black people built the Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
On top of that statue is a black statue.
I mean, it's unsurprising because historically speaking, black people have created wondrous architects. The most prominent structures that come to mind, of course, are the Great Pyramids in Giza. You know, those alone are a testament to that. The Sphinx in Egypt as well. Yeah. I can't really think of any other like prominent structures at the moment, but I mean, he's descended from a people that created that. So it's unsurprising that he can create something as beautiful as the Freedom Monument.
Absolutely. Speaking of the emancipation, right? Even though we have Juneteenth, I wanna set a fact real quick. On January 1st was when African Americans was freed from America.
Freed
not
from
June, But they was freed from being enslaved in America. I'm sorry. Gotcha. Yes, I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay. January 1st.
I'm serious.
What year?
It was, give me a second. It was I don't wanna say the wrong year.
Of course.
Next you know, they'd be like, oh no, you got the
wrong answer.
Exactly, right? It was January 1st, 1863. Mm.
Okay.
Yep. 1863. But we celebrate Juneteenth but June 19th was the day when African Americans in Texas knew about it. I think it was 2 years after that.
That's crazy. Right. And that's why Juneteenth is celebrated. They were the last to know that they were freed. And on that day, technically all African Americans were informed of their freedom when they were informed lastly.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was in Texas in 1865.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Easy, right?
Yeah.
So while we celebrate Happy New Year,
we should really celebrate Happy Emancipation.
Yeah. That's the real Juneteenth.
Happy freedom.
Yep. So that's a fact. Mm-hmm.
Was messed up even after we was free. You had a whole battle to face. You know, with segregation and stuff like that. It sucks, you know?
Of course.
And that battle is still going on to this day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's no real equality yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't even know if we'll see true equality in our lifetimes, but I have faith that one day America will be a place of real equality, true equality.
You think so?
I'm written on Ron that. Because right now, I'm going to be honest, this day and age, especially technology, people is becoming more bold in how they feel and stuff like that. Before, why it seemed like it's getting better because people are just solid. But I feel like with the older generation dying out, with this new generation, hopefully we teach the new generation properly, because it's all about self-taught.
Yeah. I don't know, because if you talk about equality, is there really a such thing as quality? Like,
when you think about once upon a time, there was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, it was equality. Think about the natives that was just chilling here.
Yeah.
You know, so we may not be allowed to see it, but I think one day my grandkids might see it, but you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And the signs for that is just look at the history of the United States. The United States is a relatively young country. We're not even 300 years old yet. And throughout that history, we have gone from slavery all the way up to the Civil Rights Bill being passed. I think historically, we've been inching slowly but surely towards equality. I think the next step outside of legislation being pushed to ensure that we are equal is an economic push to ensure that we have some sort of economic footing so that Black people can, you know, have the power, have the economic power themselves to stand on their own 2 feet. You know, so I think that's the next battle that's going to come for this century.
I feel like some states are doing that, like Georgia.
What do you mean?
Just like the lifestyle for us. Because if you realize, especially a lot of Black Americans, I feel like we are pushed in a corner.
Yes.
When it comes to living. You know, think about the projects and like low income neighborhoods. It's like we're all squeezed up in there. But with Georgia, for example, people's flourishing, people's building. Like, they're basically making Wakanda low-key.
Yes.
You know? And it's beautiful to see that. Hopefully, it can spread out through the whole country.
Yes.
There are even some towns and some states I think it was North Carolina, but don't quote me on that, that are actually offering reparations to the Black residents of certain towns.
Okay. And then we just get a Black mayor in New York?
Yeah, Eric Adams.
Yeah,
Eric Adams. He's the second Black mayor of New York.
We're making steps. It's not the biggest steps, but look, we have our first Black female vice president. You know, we had Obama, Eric Adams. We're making steps, you know?
So another thing I do want to talk about is the second a black man is on the back of the $2 bill. I'm talking about if you look at the back of, let me pull it up for you guys.
Why do you
think I look at the back of the $2 bill? Back of the $2 bill. Mm-hmm. It is, his name is Hopkins. John Hopkins. Mm-hmm. I believe. No, I'm wrong.
Uh-oh.
My fault, y'all. John, give me a second. Give me a second. Listen, I don't want to spread false information, y'all. I'm telling you, John Hansen is his name.
Okay.
Okay.
And he was in the back of the $2 bill with the rest, like George Washington. Was it George Washington? George Washington and all those people that was running America.
Isn't they put Harriet Tubman in some currency?
Well, they was going to. I think it's still in the works, but that I don't know about.
And Maya Angelou, she's on the quarter now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
See, progress.
Yeah.
See, progress. That's progress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now we need Nelson Mandela on the $100 bill.
I think they're gonna stick with just Black Americans, Black Americans. I would like to see Sojourner Truth on some form of currency. Frederick Douglass, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think in terms of hierarchy, in terms of who probably should be on a form of currency, Martin Luther King is probably number one, and I think who would be number two on that list?
What about Malcolm X?
No, he's never going to be on currency. He's never going to get on.
His race is too low.
Here's something you got to remember. A lot of our leaders, what you're talking about, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, they all had to sacrifice something in order to get to where we are today. So a lot of us talk about, like, where's our Black leaders today? This is, and everybody talking about, if you do this and you do that, there's consequences. Of course, there's always going to be consequences of something.
Of course, for anything.
But is it going to be worth it?
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta, what do you think about Malcolm X? Martin Luther King, they all was hated for something. It's crazy how they was hated for something and now they're being loved for sacrificing their lives.
Yeah. I think when Martin Luther King died, he had an over 50% disapproval rate.
Because of, like I said, he was like majority hated Martin Luther King.
He was the face of a movement that the majority of Americans did not approve of.
Exactly. But now, look at now in this year, they love him. Come on now. You got people in other race, other colors talking about, oh, Martin Luther King was a great man, blah, blah, blah. When you go back then, I bet you those same people we'll probably hate him.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure even some of our people is like, nah, Martin, we can't agree with you. We don't see that vision.
Facts.
You know? They talking about seeing little black boys and girls playing with each other, stuff like that. They said, bro, that's never going to happen. What are you talking about? Fast forward now, look at us.
So when you disagree, you can disagree with something. So let's say if we have a black leader today, that black leader is going to be the most hated. And even black folks are going to hate him. This, like, in this generation, if we have a black leader.
I guess because we look at them like, bro, why try to be a daredevil? Just sit down like the rest of us and just deal with it. But we need people like that.
Yeah.
You know, especially, like, I'm happy in media now to push him more with blackness. Like, for example, heroes, superheroes. I'm seeing more representation out there for black superheroes more than ever.
Yeah.
And children especially need that. Because all these times, think about when we were kids. We didn't have much to look up to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so something that we could relate to. And it's beautiful. Now they're even doing it with black females in media. Yeah. And it's powerful. Like, those small things really come really far.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Here we go. Facts.
And look at Black Panther's one of the best selling movies of all time.
Yeah.
It's like number two, number three. Like,
yeah.
And it was Black Blade. Believe it or not, it was Blade, the movie that came out in the 90s, that was responsible for putting the Marvel franchise back on the map. Yeah. If it wasn't for Blade, you wouldn't have the Avengers, you know?
Yep. Exactly. No matter how much you feel about the Blade movies, the original ones, it's up thanks to Wesley Snipes and shit, you know? We have what we have.
Nah, that movie was, when I was young, it was gory, but it was a very good movie.
Liked it. Spawn didn't age that well.
Yeah, huh?
I liked it. Spawn?
Oh, yeah, Spawn didn't age well at all.
Didn't age well, but I still like it, you know? But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to say that.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's a piece of Chadwick Boseman. Gotta say that too.
More in black things, as in black symbols, is the back of the dollar bill, as you can see. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, you have the pyramid. Hold on. If you look at the back of the dollar bill.
Uh-oh. I think your computer's kind of racist. It doesn't work.
Hey, yo, bro, Illuminati.
Hold on, I got you real quick. Hold on. All right,
we go to black guy. I ain't gonna tell you.
All right, so let's go. So look, back of the dollar bill is a black symbol. Black symbol. You have the pyramid, you have the Eye of Horus, and then you have the eagle. That is a black symbol. And then there's numeral codes. I'm not gonna get into all that, but pretty much it's a black, the back of the dollar bill is a black
symbol. Give us like a little background on it. You don't gotta go super deep, but
okay. Do you want me to go super deep or like,
yeah, just like just the surface level?
Okay, so you should everyone should know what the Eye of Horus here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the Eye of Ra. That's back when Egyptian times, where the Eye of Horus represents, like, you know, the third eye, the pineal gland, and everything. So a pyramid, we already know about pyramids.
Yeah.
Pyramids, you know, we built them and everything. Now, even though this is the eagle of the United States, technically, we were the original eagle that had original eagle, which is, if you really want to get technically, it has 13 leaves, 13, everything presents 13. If you look at the pyramid, Novus Ordo Seclorum, I'm not going to get into all that, but pretty much, yeah. The back of a dollar bill is a black symbol.
Beautiful.
Yep. everything of what you see in the back of a dollar bill is really a black symbol. Like if you look at the $5 bill, really black people architect that, build that. Like if you just look at it, just look at the back of the dollar bill, you see like, oh, black people built that. Okay.
Yeah.
Feel me? So even if you look at $20 bill, $5 bill, $10, like black people built that. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Yeah. We could talk on and on about black culture, black this. So yeah. What people don't know is when you go to New York, Central Park, when you walk in Central Park, when you walk in with, you know, your lady and everything, walk in the park, people don't know that used to be a black community before it was named Central Park, mm-hmm. called Seneca Village. Look that up.
Mm. That's like in the 1800s, I believe, that village was there, something like that.
Seneca Village was... Seneca Village, yeah, 1825.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a black community for us black Americans before it was destroyed and called it Central Park.
Yeah, America has a history of moving people of color around. I mean, you got the Trail of Tears for Native Americans. Of course, you have the Oklahoma bombings in the 1920s.
Yep. Yeah.
For the modern day examples of that, they do it in subtle economic ways in the form of gentrification. They take these potentially valuable properties, reform them, hike up the prices, and because of the economic situation black people are in, which is also by design, they're slowly pushed out of their homes. So
it's happening right now.
The destruction of communities is as old as America.
Mm-hmm. So that leads to a solution of economics, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why economics is important. What do you think? Why we had a real estate investor last episode that drop gems about real estate. What do you think? Why you had people like Sade Burrell giving you the game?
Mm-hmm.
Like this is we got that talk about mental health. Like this is something that's what we are known about, because this podcast is really out dropping gems to keep you informed. That way it can create value in your life.
Yeah.
Facts. Mm-hmm.
And also make you feel like you're not lonely out there.
Yep.
Not knowing certain things and stuff like that. Because sadly, a lot of things wasn't taught to us in the school system.
Oh, don't get me started.
Textbooks is being made in Texas, and that's a different story, but I'm not going to go to the education system.
Don't get me started on the school system.
This is very unfair. But, you know.
Yep, don't get me started.
We just want to give you guys the tools. Mm-hmm. And hell, we learn ourselves.
But just remember that. But just remember that we was taught to work. We wasn't taught to think. So if you were taught to do critical thinking, then you'll be able to create value to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, but if you get people that just work and work hard, then that's what's going to happen when you get people to just work hard and not just think. That's what America was built for workers. They want people to work. They don't want people to think, create ideas, create values for people, buildings for people. 'Cause technically speaking, if you want to go back in the day, what we have now, this is why people say like, oh, we are the, you know, greater generations that have it, you know, easy to inform us, because back then they wasn't taught all this stuff about real estate, financial literacy, how to budget money and all of that. You know,
that's very true. Yeah.
So that's why we have these things of we have these things in place for us. So now it's time for us to build. What do you think why I have, like, you know, a quote saying I refuse to turn my vision to ashes? It's because you have a mind and you're going to create it. You're going to have this idea, and this idea is going to turn into a reality. Yeah. You could talk
it's
like
kind of funny. When you think about it, it's like the system is taking our creative bug away from us.
Yes.
You know, because when Black people come to doing stuff and want to create things, we're great at it.
Yes.
Absolutely. So with this whole, like how you said earlier, like back in the day, especially like my mom's generation, there's taught at school to go to college, get a job, retire, you die. You know, hate to say it like that, but it's true.
Yeah.
And you see now the message is a bit different. It's like, yeah, that's cool, you could do that, but now you got a whole bunch of options.
Yeah.
It's true. Like a podcast, for example, this is a big option. You know, it's basically a radio station, low-key.
Exactly what a podcast is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the last thing I'm going to inform our audience that is Black-owned but isn't known is in upstate New York, West Nyack. I'm going to share my screen on it. So if you look, it is, so y'all know the Palisades Mall, right? I'm sorry. You know what? Y'all know the Palisades Mall, right? In upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to the Palisades Mall where like majority of the people be at, what they don't know is in the back next to it, there is a Black-owned cemetery right here.
Oh, wow.
Mount Moore Cemetery. Black-owned.
Mm. Okay.
Yep.
So and they built
right here.
Oh, hold on. Did they build a mall on top of that cemetery?
No. So this is what happened. The cemetery was there first. But then if you look it up, the Palisades Mall, when they was building it, the owners or the brokers of the Palisades Mall was talking to the owner of the cemetery, tried to give the owner of the cemetery money just to, you know, money to expand the parking lot. And he said, no, I don't want your money. Because it's all about morals. It's all about the moral. It's not about the money. It's about the moral.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nobody, like, majority of people don't know that. A Black-owned cemetery next to the Palisades Mall. Wow. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you look it up. Look who the owners are. Everything. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what I'm... That takes away for Black History Month. It's a lot of things that in our culture that it's so many we can be taught. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Nyron and TC, do y'all have anything to give away for Black History Month or no?
Enjoy your culture.
Absolutely.
Embrace it. Don't worry what people's gonna say and how to make you feel. Like I want to point out. I joke with it sometimes, but I caught myself stop doing this. The whole light skin, dark skin kind of thing, let's just stop. We're Black.
Yeah.
Why bring each other down based on the shade of our Black? Black. You're going to be viewed as Black from everybody else. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, just embrace it. Love it. Because this is ours. This is a Black experience is the only experience that we can only experience.
Yes.
Everybody else think they can, but they can't. They may want to try to copy it and stuff like that, but they will never understand or feel how to be Black.
Yes. That's there all you go. Saying. There you go. What about you, Nyron? You got anything?
Well, Rich, you're not the only one that can drop gems. I got a couple gems in my back pocket.
Talk to me.
The figure I want to talk about, she's in
you the... You can share your screen too, Nyron, if you want.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, let me try that. I got to delete my X-rated pornos before I share my screen.
Just give stop me a second. It, Five. Stop it. Please stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Okay. Just give me a moment. Let me see. Share screen. Okay. The woman I want to talk about, can you guys see my screen?
Yes.
Yeah. This is the woman I want to talk about. Her name is Octavia Butler. She is a science fiction writer and responsible for classic novels such as Kindred, Parable of the Sower, Wild Seed. The reason I want to talk about her is because she's fairly unknown, and it's criminal that she's unknown because her works are brilliant. Mm-hmm. She is also considered one of the founders of a relatively new genre of literature called Afrofuturism, in which you see these prominent Black characters, usually in some sort of technological landscape in the future. And I think that's where the future of African literature is headed, quite frankly. Anyway, just to give you an example of some of the quality of her work, the book I just finished reading from her, Kindred, involved a Black female protagonist, and she is transported to the past. From 1976, she's transported into the past during the time of slavery in the antebellum South in Maryland. And she is tasked with this complicated situation because she has to save her white slave-owning ancestor in order for her to live. You know,
oh, wow.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a complicated issue because whenever she finds her white ancestor in life-threatening situations, she's the one that's responsible for saving him. And under the conditions of the antebellum South, she's also a slave when she's transported from 1976 to the early 1800s. So it's a very interesting read. The majority of the protagonists of her books are Black women, and they're strong, intelligent. They're depicted in a way that isn't always appreciated in other works of literature. Mm-hmm. And in the world of science fiction, for the majority of her lifetime, she sort of stood alone as the only person of color and as the only Black woman. As the only Black woman who was responsible for creating such works. She's a brilliant mind, a brilliant author. I just wish people knew more about her. You can find several of her books for free on Kindle and on Amazon, on Kindle Unlimited and Amazon Prime. So take advantage of her. Take advantage of her work. It's amazing.
It's sad to see she died young, too.
She died at the age of 58. She died at the age of 58 from, I think she had, wait, I don't have to think. I have the internet right here. Just give me a moment. I'll tell you exactly how she passed away. blah, 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 blah.
So all the audio listeners out there, if you are listening, but we are sharing our screens a lot in this bonus episode. So if you get a chance, look at it on YouTube when you get a chance.
Okay. So, unfortunately, Miss Butler passed away from a fatal stroke. And when she had her stroke, she suffered some head injuries, and just like that, she was taken away from us. But she left us with a plethora of different works. She's written multiple trilogies and short stories, and I just can't emphasize enough how much of a fan I am of hers. And I think anybody who's interested in sci-fi should give her a chance. She'll definitely blow you away. Her work isn't that complicated. They're pretty quick. It's a pretty quick read. For example, Kindred was only like 250 pages. I was able to get through it in like 3 days. So please check out Octavia Butler.
Absolutely.
That sounds like a good Netflix special.
Oh, no. I haven't read a book of hers that I don't think belongs on the big screen.
I think they should do a Netflix special on her, mm-hmm. like a story on her or something, whether it's Hulu or something.
Apple TV. Give her flowers?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
That's lovely. Like, yep. That's cool.
Yep. All right, Naira, anything else before we, because I think that's it for us.
All right. I'll just leave you guys with a couple of other, not even words of wisdom, just my thoughts on what it means to be Black. Embrace your Blackness. Love your Blackness. Being Black in this world comes with a lot of different caveats, but they're not all negative. We are diverse. We are as Black as Lupita Nyong'o, and we are also as Black as Rashida Jones. You know, we come in all shapes and forms and sizes, but we are all one. There's 2 billion of us on the planet, whether we're born in Africa or not. And never forget that. Embrace your Blackness. We're all family. We're all one. And we're all recovering from the same tragedy that befell us, that was slavery. So until we unify, we'll never really completely heal.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. Just remember, there are going to be a lot of folks that's our skin color that's not going to agree with us.
That's okay.
Okay? Just letting you know that.
What's important is who we touch. Because we're not going to touch everybody.
Exactly. Yes.
I think that's what matters the most.
What matters the most is us. And it's not going to be everyone, but it's going to be most of us.
One thing too, I want to say, people should embrace more Black activities, especially like go to the museum during Black History Month. They have a lot of exhibits and showings teaching you about the Black history and the arts behind Black history and stuff. Like, there's a lot of things we could do, especially support Black businesses as well.
Speaking of that, right? I always go somewhere. I always plan in February and for Black History Month. We always go to somewhere that is represent Blackness. Like Nyron, we went. What was it? 3 years ago, we went to. When was it when we went to see the Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad? When was that?
In Maryland.
That was, how long was that? Like
3 years ago? I think that was 2 years ago. It was either last year or the year before.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and then the year after that, we went to, I think we went to Atlanta somewhere to see the civil rights culture, I believe. Yeah. So pretty much what I'm saying is every year for Black History Month, me personally, I plan and I go with my friends, TC, Nyron, and, you know, other friends that, you know, me personally, that we go to celebrate Black History Month. So we go to museums, support Black businesses. This is the stuff that we do. I remember I went to Alabama and I saw, I forgot what it's called, but it has all the names of the African Americans that was lynched. I really forgot what it's called. Hold on, let me pull it up.
You know, it sounds like we need to do a DC Centers Africa trip.
You got
a
diamond, of course.
If you got Africa money, I'm down. He's gonna supply it. He's a boss man. If our listeners want to donate to the Africa Fund, please.
The Ghana Fund.
Donate.
Hold on, let me see. I'm trying to see what it's called. It's in Alabama, but it's I think it's called the Lynching Museum.
That's
great. It's pretty much how the National Memorial Peace and Justice. Yes. Okay, yes. Right. Yes. The National Memorial Peace and Justice. When I went there, it was amazing. I highly recommend it. Definitely. And then they have another museum. They have three museums. They have the lynching, they have the mass incarceration, and the legacy museum. I check it out. Please check it out. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much it on my end. Yeah.
All right.
So, anything else before we close out?
Nope.
Nope, that's really it.
All right. That's the end of the episode. Huh?
I'm black and I'm proud. That's it.
Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. There you go. So, that's the end of it. You already know. We out.
Happy Black History Month, guys. Be safe.
History Month.